You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
People talk a lot about the Christmas spirit. What is the Christmas spirit, anyway? The Christmas spirit is all kinds of things to all kinds of people. To some, it is peace and goodwill to counteract the infighting and backbiting that go on throughout the rest of the year. To other people, it is generosity, the giving of gifts, maybe some bonuses at work, and possibly a welcome vacation. Some institutions in certain parts of the world make it a time of sharing with the needy and the unfortunate. To others, the Christmas spirit is a combination of merriment, frivolity, and gaiety. It is eating and drinking, partying and socializing, celebrating with not too much point in the celebration. For Christians throughout the world, it is a time of adoration and worship directed toward the living Christ, who came in the flesh to dwell among us and died for the sins of the world to become its Savior. Other elements have a way of edging into this celebration, of course, becoming a part of the spirit of Christmas. Sometimes they edge out the real reason for the season, the birthday of the world's Redeemer. Putting everything together, St. Paul once summarized the real spirit of Christmas, urging people everywhere, "Let this mind be in you, which you have in Christ Jesus." That thought begins and rounds out the description, as much as the human mind can grasp it, of what happened when the Son of God was born to be the Son of Man, the Messiah promised by the prophets and proclaimed through his apostles to be God's ultimate answer to the ills of humanity. With the incarnation, God himself made manifest in our flesh, Christmas has become more than just a warm time of special foods. On next week's program on this broadcast, originating in mainland China, Chinese Christians will be telling you how they celebrate Christmas. One couple, both of them professional people, told me that there was no time for a special Christmas dinner because they go right from work in order to get to their church on time for the celebration, which is Christmas. They go right home afterwards, because early the next morning they have to go to work again. After 15 years of deprivation of this privilege during the Cultural Revolution, they appreciate the fact that they can exercise their faith in Christ, which they almost lost in those days of persecution. That they have now the opportunity, gradually recovered with stronger faith than ever, to worship humbly without many of the fears of the past. As St. Paul said, Christmas is an invitation to personal humility, something like that of Christ himself. Let this mind be in you, which you have in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not a thing to be grasped to be equal with God. Nevertheless, he emptied himself, not of his deity, but of his divine privilege, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. That is the way he was, and that is the way he wants his followers to be, humble servants of the living God. Jesus himself issued the same invitation. If anyone would come after me, let him forget himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Jesus took up his cross with all humility, and in all the might of his divine sonship with the Father, put up his life for the life of the world. Can anyone who claims to be his follower do less, acting with humility like that of Christ to others? It's obvious that discipleship without cost cheapens the grace of God to a point where it's almost unrecognizable. People wrestle with one another in the pride of position or power or reputation. Personal humility has to take a back seat. The birth of Christ has become a celebrated event throughout the world, and humility is in the front row. Humility started the whole thing in the first place. And humility has kept it going down through the centuries. Humility motivates and perpetuates the Christmas spirit, first discovered in all its grace and glory on the fields below Bethlehem. Have this mind which you have in Christ Jesus. A year ago at Christmas time, Queen Elizabeth of England made a remarkable statement to her people in her annual address at that time. She said, "The spirit of goodwill usually evaporates the day after Christmas." That outspoken declaration is as right as rain. This is what happens when Christmas becomes just another cultural observance and people do not grasp the eternal significance of what actually happened when the angels came drifting through the skies. And the angel commander said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to you and to all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The true spirit of Christmas comes to those who recognize what happened there that day and take it to heart themselves. The true spirit of Christmas calls for two humilities: the humility of personal repentance and the humility of personal faith toward God and toward Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. In the humility of Jesus, you see the dignity of God. Jesus did not have to grasp this dignity. He had it all the time. He did not have to go around claiming that he was God. He showed his Godhead in everything he was and in everything he did. He took upon him the form of a servant, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, and that the death of a common criminal. The birth of Jesus had none of the trappings of the royal birth it was. King of the universe, sovereign of the world, eternal Son of the living God, who had the very nature of God. He was the glory of God's presence and the brightness of God's splendor. In every way you can talk about, Jesus was God. Jesus did not regard equality with God his Father a prize to display or to glorify himself. Once in a while, he showed that divine glory in flashes of brilliant power, but it never disturbed the humility in which he came, in which he died, and for which he was raised from the dead with a name above every name. Jesus emptied himself, as St. Paul tells us. "Let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus." Jesus stripped himself of all the pomp and all the privilege, yet he remained fully God, always God. He laid aside the full noticeable use of his divine powers, taking upon himself the form, not just of a man, but of a servant. He took the lowest place, and he played the lowest role. Jesus did not disguise himself. He was truly a servant. He made a point of it, that he was doing the will of his Father. People did not wait on him, he waited on them. In that picture, which the scriptures give us all too clearly, we see God himself. In the same picture, which the scriptures also paint all too clearly, Jesus was altogether human. He lived as a man, he died as a man, and as a man he rose from the dead. Among all the notable moments in the history of humanity, we remember Christmas, Good Friday, and Easter. We remember in the spirit of humility, not parading ourselves as being better than other people, but rather offering to the world the news that a Savior has been born, giving glory to God alone, as the angels did on that night before those shepherds who were uncommonly afraid. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men upon whom God has shown his favor. Many years ago, during the Christmas season in a large city, an agnostic news reporter saw three little girls standing in front of a store window which was full of toys. One of them was blind. Coming closer, the newsman heard the other two girls trying to describe the playthings in the window to their friend. He said he had never thought about how difficult it would be to explain something like that to someone who had never been able to see. It became the basis for a newspaper story he wrote. 2 weeks later, this same agnostic reporter attended a church service conducted by Dwight L. Moody. The reporter's purpose was to catch the evangelist in some inconsistency which could be reported in the newspaper. He was greatly surprised when Moody used his own newspaper account of the three children to illustrate a great truth. Just as the blind girl could not visualize the toys, said the preacher, so an unbeliever cannot see Christ in all his glory. He went on to say that God opens the eyes of those who acknowledge their sin and accept their Savior in humble faith. The Spirit of God touched the reporter's heart that day. In spite of himself, he recognized his need and discovered for himself what is true and that it works. Let this mind be in you, which you have in Christ Jesus. That first Christmas, only a few people understood who Jesus really was. Some were amazed. Most turned away to other things, having eyes they could not see and having ears they could not hear. In the humility of repentance and in the simplicity of childlike faith, people begin to see again and to hear again. The true Christmas spirit is in listening and hearing. It is in the true humility of repentance for what you have done or failed to do, and in the true dignity of faith toward the living God, accepting his forgiveness for what you have done or failed to do. God does forgive for the sake of Jesus, who went all the way for you, even into death, and that the death of a common criminal, dying as he did on a cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue may confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The grace of God is in the true spirit of Christmas. There's also a lot of the glory of God. The birth of God's Son brings the glory of God to bear on the inglory of the world, recreating life where nothing becomes impossible when the grace and glory of God are in it. Coming from God, it is truly life eternal, embedded in the ordinary sands and soil of human life for all who discover the true Christmas spirit. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The ultimate honor to the newborn Savior of the world is to be reborn yourself through the power of God's Spirit with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. It is growing in grace and in the knowledge of Christ to a new stature where true humility and true dignity grow up together with all the growth God gives to all who trust in Him. Young people, listen. Without drawing back from hearing what God says to you out of the goodness of his heart in Jesus his Son, grow up and grow strong in the faith of Christ, opening up your heart to others as God opens up his heart to you with the good news of the birth of his Son as one of you. Older people, with all the worries of which there are great plenty, take to yourself the everlasting comfort of the Son of God, which is really strength in place of weakness. The Spirit, the one Jesus promised to send, comes to you this week with a reminder of the birth of your Savior to a world of people like you who need very much to know how to keep on growing in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus, sent to be the Savior of all. With cheerfulness and friendliness, welcome the stranger, just as you welcome the good news of the baby born to be your Savior. Wherever you are, whatever your age or position, come alive with the true spirit of Christmas. Look and listen, think and act, live and love with all the humility and all the dignity of the Christ himself, dying his death to deliver you from the guilt of your sin, freeing you from the punishment to come, and rising from the dead to justify you in the sight of the living God. Let this mind be in you, which you have in Christ Jesus. With your tongue, confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Fold your hands to worship him in the wonder of his birth. Unfold your hands and spread them out to welcome in the name above all other names, that others too may learn how to bow the knee before him. Worship him and welcome the stranger. Trust God and praise him for the gift of his Son, who came in all humility to die for you and was raised in the glory of his Father to live for you, that you might live for him. Let this mind be in you, which you have in Christ Jesus. You know what? That is the Christmas spirit. Amen.